نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لكن الرسول والذين معه وقال الله تبارك وتعالى لقد تاب الله على النبي والمهاجرين والانصار الذين اتبعوه صدق الله العظيم. Most respected elders and friends, I've recited before you two verses from Surah At-Tawbah. Once again, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala expounds on the great, high, lofty position of the Sahaba, of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the first verse, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala appreciates the sincerity, the efforts, the sacrifices that were made by the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, after condemning the kuffar, condemning the munafiqeen, the hypocrites who had double standards and they were insincere. They used to make empty claims about iman. Thereafter Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, لَكِنِ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those people that were with him, referring to a sahaba, jahadu bi amwalihim wa anfusihim fi sabilillah. They exerted themselves physically and with the wealth in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala then says, for them is gardens, is Jannat beneath which streams flow, and they will remain there forever and ever. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And that is indeed a great success. There can't be any greater success than an individual being qualified to enter into Jannat and Paradise. We make dua that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make us among those people from the Ahlul Jannah. In the second verse, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about the Sahaba. They were recipients of divine mercy. Allah says, لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. Then Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala focused His rahmat and His mercy upon the Nabi, upon the Muhajirin, and upon the Ansars. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, Atala ummati kama atala bani Israel hadwan na'la bin na'l. Hatta an kana minhum man ata ummahu alaniyatan lakana fi ummati man yasna'u thalik. Watafarraqat banu Israel ala 72 millah. Wasataftariqu ummati ala 73 millah. Kulluhum finnar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, a condition will come upon my ummah, like how it came upon the Banu Israel. Whatever conditions the Banu Israel faced, the same conditions will come upon my ummah. There will be such degeneration in my ummah, that if among the Banu Israel there was a person who approached his mother in an immoral way, in a shameful way, his own mother, he approached his mother in an immoral way, in my ummah, there will also be such a person that will approach his mother in an immoral way. The Banu Israel, they were divided into 72 different groups. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, my ummah will be divided into 73 different groups, or at least 73 different groups. All of them, everyone will go into a fire of hell. Illa millata wahida. There'll be only one group that be saved from the fire of hell, they will go into Jannat. Sahaba were shocked. They were surprised. Their focus, their attention was Jannah. Their focus, their attention was eternal salvation. So they asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man here, who is that one group that will be saved so that we can be among that group? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. Those people that follow my path, my sunnah, and those people that follow the path and the way of my sahaba. From this hadith, it is very clear that if we want eternal salvation, we hold strictly to a sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we hold firm to the way of the sahaba. They were the ones that were closer to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They understood Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they propagate the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam according to the best of their ability. Our salvation lies only in us being sticking ourselves to a sahaba. Moving away from the sahaba is a cause of destruction and disaster. Brothers, the condition of the world is like a person that is critically ill. He goes into an operation theater and there's a possibility that he may come out alive, there's a possibility he may die. It all depends which doctor is operating on him, which professor, which surgeon is operating on him. If he's a qualified surgeon, there is a chance of survival. But if he is a chancer, unqualified person, something has gone wrong, then in all probability, the person will pass away, the person will be dead, the person will be responsible to kill him. Likewise, we all of us are critically ill in terms of the fitna, in terms of the corruption, in terms of so many distractions that we are living around. And we are now in this operation theater of this world. It depends who is operating on us. If the sahaba are operating on us, if that we are being operated with the teachings of the sahaba, then there is a survival of our iman. But if anyone else besides the sahaba are going to operate on us, brothers, there is no doubt whatsoever that our iman will be killed and our spirituality will be killed. One very great illustrious sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Hadrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hadrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu was from Yemen, from the tribe of Taus, not living far from the Red Sea. His father passed away when he was young. He was a yatim. And he was living alone with his mother. The background of his iman is, one of the leaders from the tribe of Daus, Tufail ibn Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at that time he was not a Muslim, he traveled to Makkah al-Mukarramah. He went there for business, for personal reasons. He did not know about the propaganda. He did not know about the internal fighting that is taking place in Makkah al-Mukarramah between Iman and Kufr. When he goes there, the leaders of the Kufar, they recognize the status of Tufail ibn Amr and they call him. They told him, there is a person here by the name of Muhammad. إِنَّ لَهُ قَوْلًا كَالسَّحْرِ. When he talks, then his talk is like black magic. He just takes everybody under his arm. Be very careful how he speaks. They told him everything about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he is separating families, how he is separating brothers and sisters, and what problem he has caused in Makkah al-Mukarramah. He is condemning our idols. So be very careful, safeguard yourself from him. At that time, the various leaders around Makkah, they also had their idols by the Kaaba Sharif. Tufail ibn Amr also had his own personal idol by the Kaaba Sharif. In the day, he decided to go and pay respect to his idol. But he took heed of what the leader of Makkah told him, so he plugged his ears. and said, I'm just going to go and worship my idol and I'm not going to listen to anything. Perchance I come across Muhammad. It was to his good fortune when he went to the Mataf, when he went to the Kaaba Sharif, he saw Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performing Salah. He says, I observed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I knew I'm not supposed to listen to him anything, but he was performing Salah. The posture of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that humbleness, that humility, what can we tell about the posture of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Salat? When even the angels in the skies, they envy the posture of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Salah. He says, it was the posture of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I looked at his humbleness, I looked at his humility, and that posture of Salat alone attracted me. And no sooner I found myself walking more closely to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one by one step, one by one step. I could not resist. Until I came right close to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, my ears were plugged, but somehow Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala made me hear some verses that were recited by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Salah. I told to myself, oh Abu Tufail, innaka rajulun labib. You are a clever person. Tariful qubuh min al-husn. You are able to recognize good from bad. Why do you have to listen to what these kuffar have to tell you? Why don't you make a decision by yourself? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went away from the Mataf. I followed him. I go to the house of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and I say, oh Prophet of Allah, I want to meet you. The leaders of Makkah have been saying this, that and the other about you. Tell me about yourself. Tell me who you are. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then presented Iman to Tufail ibn Amr. Told him about the oneness of Allah. Told him who created the sky, who created the earth, who created you, who created the moon, who created everything of this earth. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke to him about Iman until Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to a point where he recited Surah Ikhlas. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then recited Suratul Falaq. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقْ. The entire surah. Tufail ibn Amr said, I had no reservation whatsoever on submitting myself to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadin Rasulullah. He brings Iman on Allah and the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He remained in Makkah al-Mukarramah for business for a few days. He used to visit Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and before leaving, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, your responsibility is go back to Yemen, go to the tribe of those, to your people, invite them to Iman. He said, O Prophet of Allah, my nation is stubborn. Ij'al li ayah. Make dua that Allah give me a sign, something unique. Then when people look at it, they will get attracted to it. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, Allahumma ij'al lahu ayah. O Allah, grant him some unique sign that people could be attracted to it. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala granted Tufail ibn Amr a light that used to come out from the center of his forehead. A natural light, a light that will come out from the center of his forehead. He got worried. Say, O Prophet of Allah, if I'm going to reach my nation in that condition, the people will think that I'm bewitched. Change this. So Nabi Kareem said, may dua, O Allah, change that light into his stick. He had a walking stick. And wherever he used to walk, that stick used to give out a natural light. It wasn't anything like ESCOM or anything like an electricity department. It was a natural stick that was giving out light. Tufail ibn Amr goes to his nation. He goes back to his tribe. He comes across his father. He tells his father, stay away from me. His father asks him why. He said, no, I'm a different person. I've accepted Islam. So his father said, well, I also accept Islam. He told his wife, you stay away from me. His wife said, why? He said, because I've accepted Islam, I'm a different person. She said, well, I also accept Islam. The father accepted Islam, the mother did not. The wife accepted Islam. Tufail ibn Amr went out of the home to invite the people to Islam. People were stubborn. He was a leader. He was known for his generosity. He was known for his leadership. In his biography, it is mentioned about Tufail ibn Amr that he was a person that yut'ibul ja'i wa yu'amminul kha'if wa yujirul mustajir. He used to feed the people. He used to calm the people down. People used to be in problem and difficulty. He used to give them refuge. That's the type of leadership and influence he had among his people. But with all that, the people would not listen. The first person to accept the call of Tufail ibn Amr was none other than Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. After some times, Tufail ibn Amr goes back to Makkah al-Mukarramah. He takes Abu Huraira with him to Makkah al-Mukarramah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him a report of his da'wah in Yemen. He said, O Prophet of Allah, my nation is stubborn. Curse them. Abu Huraira says, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lifted up his hand. And he thought Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was going to curse. Nabi Sallallahu made this dua. Allahumma ihdi dawsan. Allahumma ihdi dawsan. Allahumma ihdi dawsan wa'ti bihim. Allah give hidayat. Give guidance to a nation of those and bring them to me. Abu Huraira and Tufail ibn Amr go back to Yemen. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there is various opinions about his name. Approximately 40 different opinions. But two opinions are popular. In the time of Jahiliyyah, before accepting Islam, when he was in Yemen, his name was Abdush Shams, the slave of the sun. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, what's your name? He told Abdul Shams. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told, La, Anta Abdul Rahman. I'm Abdullah. Two opinions, that your name is Abdul Rahman. You are the slave of Rahman, or you are the slave of Allah. You're not the slave of the sun. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu was more popularly known as Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira is the name, it means father of a kitten. Abu Huraira had a kitten with him. He was fond of cats or fond of kittens, as many children would be fond of. He was also very fond of his kitten and a cat. So Nabi Kareem saw the fondness of it. He was so fond, sometimes he would take a kitten and put it inside his sleeve. So Nabi Kareem told him, Anta Abu Huraira, that you are the father of a kitten. That means a close bond, close relationship with this. And thereafter, he was called as Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one very outstanding quality of his was he would remain with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he would never get tired at looking at the Mubarak face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and listening to the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He would say, I would keep on looking at the Mubarak face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ka'anna shams tajri ala wajhihi. As though the sun was actually revolving around the Mubarak face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he came to Madinatul Munawwara, that was in the 7th year after Hijrat. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to conquer Khaybar, the Jewish fought, at that time Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala had left Yemen and he came to Madinatul Munawwara. In Bukhari Sharif, there's a poem of Abu Huraira. He was traveling at night. The traveling conditions were difficult and hard. So he says this statement, this poem, whilst in a caravan. Ya laylatan min tuliha wa anaiha ala annaha min daril kufri najjat. How difficult it is, the night. What a long night it is. And this is because he was aspiring to reach Madinah to Munawwara quickly. Especially a journey like Medina. You want to reach there quickly, you don't want anything to come in between. So he says that how long is the night? How difficult it is? Nevertheless, I'll bear all this difficulty because it is the night that has liberated me from Darul Kufr, taking me to Madinah to Munawwara. He come to Madinah to Munawwara with his mother. His mother was still a non-Muslim. In spite of the many years of him practicing Islam in Yemen, his mother was still a mushrika. She had no option but to come with the only son, Abu Huraira, to Madinah, to Munawwara. And she was very angry, very, very upset. Because of him, I have to leave Yemen, my hometown, home country, and come in a foreign land because of him. She used to swear Abu Huraira. And, na'uzu billah, there was a time in her life that she used to swear Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu came in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and started crying. O Prophet of Allah, make dua for my mother. Make dua for my mother. He didn't say anything more than that. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. Allahumma ahdi umma Abi Huraira. Oh Allah, give hidayat, give guidance to the mother of Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira said that he knew the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be accepted. But he left the gathering of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes home and he noticed the door is locked, but from outside the house he could hear the dripping of water. Realizing that his mother was probably in the bathroom and she was taking a bath. Shortly thereafter, when the mother opened the door and she saw Abu Huraira in front, to the shock, surprise and amazement of Abu Huraira, he saw the acceptance of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the mother is saying, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, for the rest of his life, he, in spite of his iman, mother being in a state of kufr and shirk, he showed great amount of respect. And after the mother accepted Islam, that respect and that bond between him and his mother increased. Every day, whenever he used to leave the home, he used to greet his mother with these words. He would say, "Assalamu alaykum ya ummatah, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." The salam of my beloved mother. May Allah's rahmat and mercy be upon you. The mother then would reply, "Wa alaykum salam ya bunayya wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." Oh my beloved son, may Allah's rahmat and mercy and barakat be upon you. Then he would make this dua that he would say, that I make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that Allah rabbitini kama rabbaitani saghira. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala have mercy upon you, like how you nurtured me when I was small. So the mother then would reply to the son, and she would say, rahimakallah kama bararta bi kabira. May Allah have mercy upon you, as you have been good to me whilst in old age, or whilst you were an adult. This was a close bond between Abu Huraira and his mother. A great lesson for us also to learn. How we should treat our mothers. How we should talk to our mothers. And how much of love and compassion we should exchange with our mothers. One very outstanding quality of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu was his memory. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala chose him among the Sahaba to narrate the most number of ahadiths. It is recorded, he narrated 5,374 hadiths of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, once I was in a masjid of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, myself and Zayd ibn Sabit. Both of us were sitting, we making zikr, we making dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. It was only two of us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to Zayd ibn Sabit, ask what you want. So Zayd ibn Sabit made certain du'as, on that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ameen. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam focused to Abu Huraira and told Abu Huraira, ask what you want. He said, O Prophet of Allah, let me make du'a. All those things that my colleague Zayd ibn Sabit asked for, that and one more thing too. That whatever knowledge I have, I must never forget. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ameen on that. Zayd ibn Sabit heard the dua of Abu Huraira and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Ameen on that. He said, O Prophet of Allah, make that dua for me also. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, قَدْ سَبَقَكُمْ الدَّوْسِ. This Dawsi person, Abu Huraira, he have overtaken you in this. Nabi Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu used to narrate lots of hadiths. Sahaba started doubting. Everything he's saying, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Everything, qala Rasulullah. As though the center of his life was the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So people used to say, started doubting Abu Huraira, how come? Just within a short period of time, he knows so many hadiths that other sahaba that way would, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for so many years, they don't narrate hadith as much as Abu Huraira is narrating. Abu Huraira heard about this. Then Abu Huraira answered them. And he says, إِنَّكُمْ لَتَقُولُونَ أَكْثَرَ أَبُو هُرَيْرَى. You people are saying that Abu Huraira has overdone it in narrating hadiths. وَاللَّهُ الْمَوْعِدِ. Allah is my witness. Allah will judge on the day of Qiyamah. He said, إِنَّ إِخْوَتِي مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ كَانَ يَشْغَلُهُمْ الصَّفَقْ بِالْأَسْوَاكِ وَإِنَّ إِخْوَتِي مِنَ الْأَنْصَارِ كَانَتْ تَشْغَلُهُمْ عَمَلَ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. The Muhajirin brethren, they were busy doing business. My Ansar brethren, they were doing labor in the farms. And my condition was such that وَكُنْتُ إِمْرَأً مِسْكِينًا. I was a poor person. He came from Yemen. He was a yatim. He came in Medina Munawwara. He said, I was a poor person. And أَلْزَمُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ بِلْءِ بَطَنِي. I had no food to eat as well. But I decided to stick myself with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to learn the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever food would come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would then give it over to me. And I remained all the time with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I heard those things from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Muhajirin brethren didn't hear. I heard those ahadiths that the Ansar didn't hear. And that's why I know so many hadiths. And then he himself says, on one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, who will take out their upper garment, their sheet, and place it on the ground, so I may read something on that, and then he would place it back on his chest and will never forget anything. Abu Huraira says, quickly I took out my upper garment, I put it, placed it on the ground. Nabi Kareem read something, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after reading, Abu Huraira said, I took that garment and I placed it on my chest. From that day onwards, I never forgot any hadith that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have narrated. This was the remarkable, unfailing memory that Allah tabarakah has granted to Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, while seeking knowledge, there was great sacrifice he made as well. If he wanted, like Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, he went to the bazaars of Medina and he earned money. Other sahaba, they also went and earned money. But Abu Huraira made great sacrifice. He says, on one occasion, I was so hungry. Extremely hungry. I never experienced hunger like that before. And out of desperation, normally a modest person with hungry won't ask anybody for food. But there I was driven with such level of hunger that I felt now I need to arrange some food for myself. So after the salat, I saw Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And I just started a conversation just with the hope that maybe Umar will take me home. And I asked Umar radiallahu ta'ala about the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha. He said, I knew the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha more than anyone else. But anyway, Umar radiallahu quickly explained to me, but Umar probably didn't realize what was my intention. He carried on. I came back despondent. Shortly thereafter, somebody brought a bowl of milk. Now, I got happy. I thought, bowl of milk came. I'm the person right here. I'm more deserving of it. Maybe Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will give it to me. To my surprise, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, Abu Huraira, go and call the Ashabu Sufa. There were other sahaba living in the masjid. They were also seeking knowledge. So, I had to carry out the order of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but I thought to myself, I hope I get the milk. Call the Ashabi Sufa. Now Nabi Kareem told Abu Huraira, serve them the milk. I myself am hungry. Others are being called and the milk is so little. I'm going to serve them. What will be left for me? So Ashab al-Suffa all drank. Abu Huraira was surprised by them. Little milk, everybody is drinking. At the end, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira, who's left? You and I? You and I? Now Nabi sallam told Abu Huraira, you drink. He said, I drank. After I removed the container from my mouth, Nabi Sallam told him, Ishrib, drink again. He said, I drank again. It's the third time Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forced me to drink until I told to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ma wajadtu li masahan. I got no place in my stomach anymore. Nabi Kareem saw it and smiled and took the container and he drank the remaining milk. This was the miracle that Abu Huraira stayed with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he benefited, he witnessed the barakat and the blessings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One very great thing Abu Huraira had was adab for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In Mishkat Sharif, under Babu Mukhalatil Dil Junub, there is a narration. It says, one day, I was in the state of Janabat, in the state of major impurity. I was walking around somewhere in Madinatul Munawwara, and I saw Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Akhada biyadi, Nabi Sallam caught my hand, wa mashaytu ma'ah. And I walked with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When I came in the gathering of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, fansadaltu. I slipped away from the gathering of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I went home and I came back. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked me, Aina kunta ya Abu Huraira? Where were you, O Abu Huraira? So, he said, O Prophet of Allah, I was in a state of janabat. I was in a state of major impurity. And wa ana akrah an ujalis ma'ak. I felt disrespectful to stay, sit with you in that condition. That's when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, Subhanallah innal mu'min la yajas. Subhanallah, mu'min is not impure. Not impure in terms of his aqidah and in terms of his belief. Abu Huraira used to exert himself in ibadat. It is stated, Kana yasubun nahar wa yaqumu sulus al-layl. Beside the month of Ramadan, often he used to fast in a day. And his normal habit, every night one third, he used to make ibadat. When he used to sleep, he used to wake his wife up to make ibadat. She used to make ibadat for one third of the night. And then he had a daughter, that the mother used to wake the daughter up in a third the part of the night and she used to make ibadat. Whole night the house of Abu Huraira was engaged. Somebody was engaged in the ibadat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The tasbihat, 12,000 tasbihat used to make daily. We probably make one tasbih, two, three tasbihs and we feel that we made too much. But here is Abu Huraira, 12,000 tasbihat he used to make. One thing Abu Huraira was very sensitive about, making tarbiyat of people. Making islah. He sees anything wrong, would respect dignity and honor, he would correct the people. One day, he saw one young person walking with an elderly person. Walking together with him. So he asked, called the young person, asked him, that, man kana ma'ak, who is that person that's with you? The young person told Abi, that's my father. So Abu Huraira then advised him. And told him, that see, that, la tusammi bi ismi. Never call your father by his own name. Today, we see the condition in our community. Sometimes the children are calling the fathers with their own names, with the name of the father. It's totally disrespectful. Children, we show adab and respect to our fathers. Second, la tamshi ma'ahu. Don't walk. La tamshi amama. Don't walk in front of your father. And third, he said that don't talk in front of your father or before what your father will have to say. On one occasion, Abu Huraira, you know, after Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, Marwan was the ruler. He made Abu Huraira the governor of Madinatul Munawwara many times. They had so much of trust on Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when the time came, he fell ill. And just before he could pass away, he was crying. So somebody that was there asked him that, why are you crying? He said, Inni la abki ala dunyakum hazi. Walakin li bu'di safar wa qillati zaad. I'm not crying because I'm about to leave this world. My concern is this. I've got a very long journey ahead. The journey toward the akhirat. There's no journey like the journey of the akhirat. But my provision for the akhirat is very, very little. And then he says, قَدْ وَقَفْتُ فِيهِ نِهَايَةِ طَرِيقٍ يُفْزِي بِهِ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ أَوِ النَّارِ. I'm standing on such a road, that road may either take me to Jannah, and you either take me to Jahannam. وَلَا أَدْرِي فِي أَيِّهِمَا أَكُونَ. And I don't know where I'm going. This road, whether it's going to take me to Jannah, or where it's going to Jahannam. Just consider. The khawf he had in him. Sacrificed whole life with Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Staying in the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he never thought to himself, well, because of the sacrifice I made, I'll be dying in a state of iman and definitely everything will be well for me on the other side. It was the khawf that he had. Finally, in the last moments of his life, Marwan came to visit him. Abu Huraira was ill. Marwan told him, Shafakallah ya Abu Huraira. May Allah cure you, O Abu Huraira. So, on that Abu Huraira, he made dua. Allahumma inni uhibbu liqa'ak. Fa'ahibbu liqa'i. Wa'ajjil li fi. O Allah, you know that I love to meet you. Allah, you also love to meet me. And Allah, take me away quickly. Marwan says, he just heard this dua of Abu Huraira, he just went by the door. So quickly Allah accepted the dua of Abu Huraira that Abu Huraira had passed away by then. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he passed away at the age of 78 and he is buried in Jannatul Baqi. Brothers, in conclusion, I just want to share with you one hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Idha mata ibn Adam in qata amaluhu illa min thalas. When a person passes away, everything of his ends terminates. Once you pass away, you can't do nothing. You can't say one subhanallah. With the exception of three things that will remain. First, sadaqatun jariya. You give sadaqah. You dig a well for someone. You help the poor and the needy people in Sham, in Iraq, the destitute people in Somalia. You help them, you assist them. That will come to our assistance on the day of need. On the day of Qiyamah. That is sadaqatun jariya. Second, ilmun yuntafa'u bihi. Knowledge through which people would benefit. And the third, waladin salihin yad'u lahu. You have a child, you nurtured your child, and after you have passed away, the child, he is a pious person, obedient to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Whatever act of worship he does, the parents will get that. For Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we are the students of Abu Huraira. The entire ummah, they are the students of Abu Huraira. The entire shariat, to a large extent, it is the portion of Abu Huraira because of all the ahadiths that he had preserved and he passed it over the ummah. And the shariat is based on all those hadiths narrated by Abu Huraira, other sahaba as well, but to a greatest extent, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Huraira came in the world. He exerted himself and he prepared for his akhirat. He worked in this world, and after he went, he left a legacy for himself. He is getting an investment even after he has left the world. We need to ask ourselves a question. We listen to a biography of this great illustrious Sahaba, but the time for us now to ask a question, what have I done? I'm living, what have I done? And what will I get after I leave the world? Will I be also getting a return when I go in the akhirat? Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayat to love the sahaba and to follow the pathway of the sahaba. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.